at any time, our time might be up. And we should always be at a state and in a place where our house is in order and we should be ready. Now, so Hezekiah is just weeping bitterly, and Isaiah comes back because God says, I'm going to add 15 years to his life. Now, that at the beginning, you read that and go, that's kind of cool. That's kind of neat. Now, this is where, again, it gets a little tricky because the question is, was it a good thing or was it a bad thing? And you're thinking to yourself, how could that be a bad thing? Well, there's some things that take place in the last 15 years of Hezekiah's life that you go, ooh, we could have done without that event. Oh, Hezekiah is going to have a kid in these last 15 years. He's going to, at this point, 3 years later, he's going to have a kid by the name of Manasseh. And you can, you know, take a look at the heading on the next chapter, right? And you see Manasseh becomes king of Judah. You take a look at it. Manasseh was how many years old? He was 12 years old when he started reigning. So in this short 15 years, in 3 years, he's going to have a kid named Manasseh. And you might be saying, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Well, I guess it depends upon how good or bad Manasseh turns out to be. And how bad is Manasseh? He's pretty bad. Now, I can't, this is where, again, it's so hard to nail, it's like nailing Jell-O to a wall. How do we decide this stuff? Because Manasseh is really bad in a lot of ways. He essentially reverses all of the stuff his dad has done. Rumor has it, and we can't prove this, but extra biblical material says that Manasseh was responsible for sawing the prophet Isaiah in half. That's not a good thing. Now, of course, now the problem is Manasseh later on repents and changes and becomes a wholehearted follower and devoted person to God. So you look at that and you go, was it a good thing, the 15 years? Was it a bad thing? So this is where Renee was kind enough. We'll have to read this quote. Where's the quote? Because it's a great, the Martin Luther quote. Blessed is the man who submits to the will of God. He can never be unhappy. And this is something where, again, it's hard. Was Hezekiah wanting the extra 15 years? Or was he just weeping bitterly? The text is just not that clear and not that, we just don't know. So, yeah, he might have been saying to himself, Lord, you know, I'm at the end of my life. Just remember that I have faith in you. And that's something that you hear on deathbeds all the time, of people confessing their faith to God. That very well could be. So it's one of those, yeah, very interesting. So anyway, Hezekiah is told, or sorry, Hezekiah doesn't know yet. Isaiah just gets told that I'm going to add 15 years life to Hezekiah. And I want you to go back and I want you to tell him this. So verse 7, then Isaiah said, prepare a poultice of figs. They did so and applied it to the boil, and he recovered. So now we know that he was dying from a boil. Now, I've had those things, and they're pretty painful. I almost died from a couple myself, I'm sure. This is the problem. Now, of course, this was hilarious as I was listening to one guy, and I just don't buy it. He says this is just natural medicine doing its job. I'm like, he's the king of Israel. Don't you think he's got the best doctors working on him? Someone didn't come up with the idea of putting the figs like this. No, this I don't think is of medicinal value. I believe, in fact, it's opposite medicinally. This was simply a miracle. They put this fig mixture onto this boil, and Hezekiah gets better. Now, verse 8. Hezekiah had asked Isaiah, what will be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I will go up to the temple of the Lord on the third day from now? Which, of course, is, I could probably preach a whole sermon just on the fact of after miraculous things happen in your life, there is one place we should all go, and that's straight back into the temple of God and give thanks. I know that I'm guilty of it just like you, so please, I'm not pointing any fingers. Often things happen in our lives and we just fail to come back to God. I mean, that's what we say, blessed be the name. Every blessing you pour out, we should be turning that back into a time of praise. But often, we get blessings in our lives, and we go, oh yeah, that was due me. I've been living a pretty good life, or I've been praying a lot, or I deserve that, or you know, I've had a rough life, so I deserve this stuff good happening to me. No, every blessing you get, we should be coming back to God and giving thanks to Him. That's why I love it. And it does happen here, so please don't, I'm not saying that you guys don't do it, but I love it when miracles happen here at Searchlight and someone comes up and says, hey, this happened to me and I just wanted to give thanks to God. To me, that's just a wonderful thing. Hezekiah asked for this sign. What is going to be the sign? Isaiah, this is pretty cool. You got to admit. Isaiah answered, this is the Lord's sign to you that the Lord will do what He has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or shall it go back 10 steps? So there's the stairwell, whether or not it was an official timepiece, you know, that was used to tell time or not is irrelevant. I listen to a lot of people give lots of arguments either way, and I'm like, who really cares? You know, the idea is the sun is supposed to be, because he even says, it is a simple matter for the shadow to go forward 10 steps, said Hezekiah, rather have it go back 10 steps. So the idea is, in the passage of time, it'll eventually go down those steps, and the shadow will cover 10 steps. It'll go forward 10 steps. And so Hezekiah's like, well, yeah, if I want a sign, give me a good sign. You know, not something that's just going to happen. Instead, make it miraculous. Have it go backwards. This is one of those things, a little side note, sorry. The whole Isaiah chapter 7 prophecy, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you call him Emmanuel. And then there's all this debate of, oh, the original Hebrew is not the right word. It's Alma instead of Bethula, and people get all up that it's not really a virgin. He was just saying that it's some girl. And I'm thinking to myself, well, then that's just the dumbest miraculous sign I've ever heard in my life. A girl's going to get pregnant and give birth to a kid. Oh, wow! Let's call the press. Wow! A girl got pregnant. You know, that's not miraculous at all. And that's what's happening here with Hezekiah. Don't just let the shadow go forward. That's going to happen. Have something miraculous. A virgin giving birth to a child. Now, that's a miracle. Having the shadow go back 10 steps, that's a pretty cool miracle. Now, I don't know how much to get into it, but was it, did the sun actually go backwards a little bit? Or was it maybe just some refraction that took place, or God just bent light in that area? I mean, people have all these wonderful theories. It's the same thing on the time when the sun stood still so that Joshua could dispatch more of the bad guys, probably Amalekites. And so what actually happened there, we don't really know. It's kind of fun to think about, but we just don't know. But here, the shadow goes back 10 steps. And look what it... Yeah, was it like a time machine? Did everyone start walking backwards? And I don't know. I mean, Isaiah doesn't say, and neither does the writer of 2 Kings. It was what? The birth? Please. I am moving on. You don't even want to hear what she said. Verse 11, then the prophet Isaiah called upon the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back the 10 steps it had gone down on the stairway of Ahaz. That's pretty, I mean, you got to admit, again, in the realm of miracles, that's a pretty cool miracle. I kind of like it. Now, Hezekiah has been given 15 more years. I mean, it does beg the question, doesn't it? I don't like to talk end-of-life stuff, but it does beg the question of what would you do if you were going to die and you came back and you were told, I mean, maybe even you knew how long you were going to live. Here, Hezekiah has 15 years. What would you do with those 15 years? And, of course, this is the hard part. I'm telling you, this is, you know, as I'm thinking about it, I get annoyed at myself thinking about this. Because I go, you know what? If I had only 15 more years to live, I would probably speak to people about Jesus more. I would probably study the Bible a little bit more. I would spend a whole lot more time with my family. There would be all these really good and noble things that I would do if I was told in 15 years I'm going to die. And then of course, I get annoyed at myself because why aren't I doing them now? Because I could be gone tomorrow. That's, you know, I always kind of get these feelings of, you know, what the chapter really means and what we should do with it. This is essentially what we should be learning from 2 Kings chapter 20. This man gets another opportunity at life. Sometimes he does good with it, but sometimes he does some stuff really poorly with it. What are you going to do with the next 10, 15 years of your life? Are you just going to put your head down and do your stuff and just kind of live life and survive? Or are you going to do something wonderful with it? Something godly with it? Because it had to have gone through Hezekiah. I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Hezekiah in the first year or two or three probably was like all out going after God. I mean, that would make sense. If you had died or you were about to die and then you lived, you would probably live that first little bit really boldly for God. But, I mean, why don't we just keep going? Why would we need a terminus point? I think that's also one of the reasons why God has not revealed to us of a terminus date. He wants to show us and he wants us to learn that every day that we live is a gift of God and needs to be utilized completely and utterly for Him. And it's not a question of waiting till tomorrow. It's not a question of saying, I'll get to that next week. Well, I'll do that next year. Well, I'm kind of busy. Let me have some time. There just may not be any time. And I'm not trying to get, you know, I'm not one of those that tries to get the emotions, become emotionalistic here and try and strip you that way. But it is a good question to ask. That we don't just sit around and keep living life. What are we actually doing with this? And again, please, I don't need you to go out and cure cancer. Maybe one of you will. Or, you know, you don't need to go and do some amazing, miraculous thing. But there is something to be said about living our life every day as if it is our last. As if saying, God, thank you that today I can breathe. Thank you today I can walk. Thank you, Lord, that today I can talk to my neighbor. Thank you, Lord, today that I can hug my kids. Thank you, Lord, that today I can be with my wife. There's something to be said about this. And Hezekiah is one of those that is all too human, and I think we all fall into it. And that's what I, you know, why do these stories make it in the Bible? Why are they here? I mean, it's not just enough for us to say, yeah, they're really cutesy little stories. There's messages in here. The New Testament says that all these stories were written so that you may have life, and that we can learn from them. And all Scripture is useful for correcting and rebuking and training in righteousness. All of this is supposed to be part of it. So today, as you look at this, you've got to ask yourself the question, how am I living? Some of you may not even have a relationship with Christ. You might even say next week, next month, next year. Wait till I'm through college. Wait till my kids grow up. Wait till I get a better job or a nicer house. Let me wait. No, no, no. Now is the time. Yeah, I'd really like to read my Bible more. But I'm so busy, I'm going to wait till things kind of get a little less crazy. Fabulous. Let me know how that works for you. Now is the time. So here's one of those stories, unfortunately, that comes up. Again, this is going to paint, and please understand, we're not going to go into 2 Chronicles 32, but that is the parallel passages, and it's a good thing to read those at a later time, because I think Hezekiah is just simply a human. I really do. That he has these times when he is shining and is wonderful, but then he has those other times when he's very human and frail and faulty. And that was in 2 Chronicles 32, it lays it out that his number one problem is pride. We're going to see that in this next story. But yet, there seems to be this part of him that always knows that humility is the quickest vehicle back to God. The quickest way to return to God is through humbling yourself. Hezekiah seems to know that, which is great. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent Hezekiah letters and a gift because he had heard of Hezekiah's illness. Hezekiah received the messengers and showed them all that was in his store. What? Showed them all that's in the storehouses, the silver, the gold, the spices, the fine oil, his armory, and everything found among his treasures. There was nothing in his palace or in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. And you got to ask yourself, again, why? Is there a purpose for this? He already knows at this point. I don't know if you remember, we talked a couple weeks ago. They already know that they're not going to fall to Assyria. They're going to fall to Babylon. Then in come messengers from Babylon. And what are you going to do? You're like, I want to show you all my fine stuff. I want to show you all my riches. It's almost like if God comes to you today and says that some dude named Mark Manning is going to rob your house tonight. And then I come knocking on your door and you're like, hey, Mark, how you doing? I want to show you something. This is my safe. It's hidden behind the picture frame. Look at that. Oh, the combination shirt. Yeah, oh, there you go. Oh, and the fine china that we hide from most people. I'm going to show that to you. And I've got this gold and this silver and I got this fine motor oil and these spices and, you know, great paprika and, you know, cinnamon. You think about that, like, you've got to be kidding. What are you doing? You're showing the very people that are going to come and plunder you. You're showing them your riches. Was that one of the ten? That's you. That's not one of the ten. Oh, that totally should be one of the ten. Renee told me that in her Bible. She has 10 things that were bad about the whole Hezekiah recovering. And I didn't count up 10, but there's a bunch of things that you're like, you have got to be kidding me. So Hezekiah shows him. Now, of course, again, he was probably showing this thinking to himself, I could probably do this in secret and not anyone's going to know except for these little envoys from Babylon, right? Well, the problem is there's this dude named Isaiah and he happens to hear from God quite clearly and Isaiah comes back on the scene. Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and asked, what do those men say and where do they come from? You know, I'm telling you, I can't prove this because, you know, we don't have voice inflection, but I think this is how he said this part. From a distant land. And he probably stood there, and I bet Isaiah's probably giving him that dirty look, you know, the one that your wife gives you and, like, I can't believe you're an idiot look. You know, I'm sure Isaiah's looking at him like this. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. And that's finally when Hezekiah goes, they came from Babylon. Now, I can't prove this because I don't have voice inflections, but this is how I read the text. The prophet asked, what did they see in your palace? And of course, by now, the deer in the headlights look like I am such an idiot and a stooge. My hand's in the cookie jar and I got chocolate all over my face. They saw... everything in my palace, Hezekiah said. There's nothing among my treasures that I did not show them. Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. The time will surely come when everything in your palace and all that your fathers have stored up until this day will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord, and some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood that will be born to you, will be taken away and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. That's definitely one of them. It's like, that's... And then I just can't believe his response. And again, it's one of those things, you read the response and you're like, he can't really mean that, can he? Look at this. Do you see the response? The word of the Lord you have spoken is good, Hezekiah replied, for he thought, will there not be peace and security in my lifetime? At least he didn't say it out loud. I guess that's a benefit. Did you catch what he just thought? Yeah. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, King of Babylon's going to come in and take away all my kids and everything. dude, I only got 15 more years. I'm going to be dead. So, you know, but I'm going to be secure. I'm going to be okay. Yeah, I'm going to have peace. Yeah, not the other guy. You think to yourself, are you really that cold and callous that you don't care about all this? You have just been told that your entire nation is going to be plundered by the king of Babylon. Everything you have is going to be taken away. But you're thinking to yourself, but at least I'll be dead. I mean, it's the act of selfishness. Sure. Yeah. 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 People use that excuse all the time with a number of different things. Well, as long as I'm okay, you know, I don't know what this is going to do to my kids or my grandkids, but as long as I'm happy. Yeah. What does it matter? And that is, again, it's the art of selfishness that is, and it's just an unfortunate thing that, and it happens all the time, where we say to ourselves, well, I really don't care about others around me. I really don't care what's going to happen. As long as I'm okay. As long as everything's fine with me. I think that's what gets us into trouble. Way too much. Verse 20. As for the other events of Hezekiah's reign, all his achievements, and how he made the pool and the tunnel by which he brought water into the city, which is a really cool thing, by the way. I mean, we have engineers nowadays they had to get water because they were going to be sieged. And so Hezekiah says, why don't we get the river? We're going to dig through, we're going to dig a tunnel, and we're going to have the water. Because that's one of the things of a siege, is you cut off the water supply and you soon die. So he figured out a way, let's do an underground water system, and we'll have the water just come right up into our city. So we could stay here for as long as we want. And sure enough, I haven't been there, so I haven't verified this, but I guess you can actually go and see this. And it's one of those things where they had a group on one side, a group on the other, and they just kind of tunneled, and right in the middle it gets all jaggedy. Like, where are you? Hello, hello, hello. You know, as they're trying to dig to make the tunnel. But it was some, you know, amazing feat that took place, and Hezekiah was part of that. Hezekiah rested with his father's and Manasseh's son. Succeeded him as king. There's so much more to the story of Hezekiah. There's so much more as he was someone that became so powerful and so wealthy and so stuck on himself, but he kept being broken by God in such a way that kept him humble and always coming back to him. There's a lot to be said, I think, in this chapter, but I think the thing we must take away with it now is, what are you going to do in the next 15 years of your life? I'm not saying you have 15 years, but what are you going to do with it? I know we think that we're going to live forever here on this earth, but there comes a time when we will die. And the question is, are we living just solely for ourselves, or are we living for others? Most importantly, are we living for God? Let's pray. Lord God, Lord, I have lots of questions about the text. I want to know more, and yet there isn't more to know. So I really don't know. Was it a good thing? Was it a bad thing? But I do know one thing, that you gave a man extra life, and he didn't quite follow through. And I just thank you for your amazing grace and how you didn't just take Hezekiah and toss him by the wayside and just forget about him and leave him. And you're not going to do the same thing with his son either. And there's so many times, Lord, that we have failed you and we have lived selfishly and we get so caught up in ourselves. And I'm huge at that, God. I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us for how we often live. Instead, Lord, we should be asking ourselves a question. What are we going to be doing today for you? And I know, Lord, I get caught thinking it's just one day and the thousands of days still left. But I don't know if that's true. Ryan, you've done amazing things in my life to keep me alive. So may my life continually be a reflection of your love and grace. And may what I say and do bring you glory. And I thank you that your will is so good and so perfect. And Lord, I just continue to humbly, as best as I can, submit myself to your will, to what you want done in my life. So I pray for that strength and that courage. I pray that my pride would continually be stripped so that I can just simply be a humble person, serving and loving you. Lord, I thank you.